You're listening to The War Room with your host, Rob Dew. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. I'm your host, Rob Dew. Thank you for joining me. In studio, we have the one and only Michael Cargill, owner of Central Texas Gunworks. And over the weekend, his employees... Now, Michael is no stranger to the show. You might have seen him here covering many issues, his lawsuits against the federal government, maybe the time he went after a criminal and confronted him on a bus. I mean... Which is like, you read this story and you're like, what? You know, literally, it's something out of a movie. Everybody gets off the bus and there's the guy back there and the cops go in and look and they're like, oh, he doesn't have a gun, but they found it where he had stuffed it under under the chair. I mean, you hear these stories and you're like, this can't be true. And you know, and you got Michael Cargill here. He has a family of employees and, you know, they're like a work family. And, you know, they teach people how to buy guns, how to shoot guns, how to safely handle guns, a lot of safety classes. Well, over the weekend, a couple of his employees were involved in an incident that was a shooting and ended up leading to the death of someone. And I'm reading over this account, and it looks like what happened is the guy who kind of started the whole incident off, of course, nothing happens to him. He gets off scot-free, but it was between a beef that happened in 2020 and this whole thing starts off, and this is crazy.
Yeah.
But your employee Ryan Laura was involved in this shooting, and I guess he's posted bond and he's back out. But tell people what happened a little bit.
Yeah. So this was last Friday night. You know, we actually had gone out to dinner. We all, you know, had a nice little dinner, and then they decided they were going to go out after that. I decided I was going to go home. And go to bed. You know, I'm getting up there in age. I'm almost 60 years old. So, you know, when it gets dark, I go to sleep.
Yeah.
And so they went out, and apparently prior to them arriving at this club in Austin, Texas, what happened was there was a fight that broke out inside the club before my employees got there. And so this guy decided that he wanted to have a fight with one of the employees of the club.
Yeah.
You know, something that started like 6 years ago, back in 2020. He said, hey, you know, let's, you know, continue this fight, you know, because we didn't finish, you know, the first time. And so to me, that's insane all in itself. You know, who carries a, you know, a grudge sit for 6 years, you know?
I actually have a grudge from high school.
Do you? You know,
but I'll probably never see that guy again.
Okay. So, hey, 6 years, you know, he sees him, you know, at work. And this guy says, hey, dude, I'm at work right now.
Right.
You know, I don't have time to do this at work. Wait until I'm off work somewhere else. And then, we, you know, we can go to a ring somewhere and we can fight it out. Guy's like, no, we're going to do this right now. You know, this happened 6 years ago. I'm still pissed off about it. So, you know, ding, ding, here we go. And so they start fighting, you know, inside the place. And like I said, my employees are not there yet. And so they're fighting, they're going on. This is, you know, other people are jumping in, you know, so now this is a group of people attacking the employees that actually work for the club.
Yeah.
And so the manager of this establishment called 911, and the police never showed. And so they eventually were able to get these people out of the club. And so they're walking outside. As they're walking outside, that is when my employees actually pull into the parking lot. So they pull in, and these guys are still pissed off about what just happened inside the club. So they immediately turn to my guy, you know, while he was in his vehicle and start banging on his vehicle, you know, because he's still pissed off. And my guy's, you know, like, what are you doing? You know, what's going on? He's like, dude, and he's saying some name. And dude's like, that's not me. You know, you're confusing me with someone else. That's not me.
Oh, so he thought he was somebody else.
He thought my guy was someone else. And so he's already crazy. You know, he's carrying on a beef for 6 years and he's trying to fight someone. And now he's wanting to fight one of my guys thinking he's someone else. So then that escalated. It went from zero to like 100 miles an hour in a matter of seconds. Some females got involved. And then all of a sudden it became 12 people, you know, attacking my two employees, you know, in a parking lot. And so one of my guys, you know, has a fractured skull, fractured face. He has his eyes closed. He has bruised ribs. And so my guy actually loses consciousness. He's on the ground. These guys are pounding, stomping. This is going on for like a minute, and he's stumping my guy. And my other guy is looking over. He goes, look, this is, you know, they won't stop. You know, they will not stop. So he had no choice but to pull his gun out and use it because, you know, either my guy was going to die being stumped to death. He's already, you know, cracked skull. you know, eyes closed, bruised ribs, you know.
And when you read the affidavit account from the other people involved in this, it's like, oh, he went out and he leaned on a car. That's what they say.
If it doesn't make sense, it's a lie. Yeah. You know, so I'm pissed off because I just got in a fight inside a club. So I'm going to walk outside and a truck is pulling into the parking lot. And I'm just going to lean on that truck.
Lean on it, yeah.
Right. No, I'm pissed off and I'm going to bang on that truck and attack that truck and take my anger out on them because I just, you know, got kicked out of this bar.
Jeez. and so your guy, and obviously the guy that was banging on the truck, he's not the one that got shot. But from what you've gathered, one of the guys that was attacking your other employee was one of the guys that got shot?
Absolutely. Everyone that was in that parking lot, they are all guilty. Yeah. They're all guilty of attacking my employees, every single one of them.
What is going on with the spirit of people that, you know, your weekends are supposed to be a time to relax and have fun? There was actually a birthday party going on at this club, or they were cleaning up from a birthday party that had just happened. So like a time where it's supposed to be fun, and then you have this that breaks out. And what does that tell you about the spirit? What is going on in Austin where, you know?
It just tells you people can't, you know, some people can't handle their alcohol. So we're talking, this is all before 9 o'clock at night.
Jeez.
This is all before 9 p.m. At 9 p.m., you're that lit, you're that high and that lit that you can't control yourself at 9 p.m. You know, and once again, if the APD, if Austin Police Department had shown up the first time 911's call with the thing that happened inside, then it never would have escalated to that point that someone actually ended up getting killed.
And what was the time that the APD was first called? Do they have that?
No, they don't have that time in there. They actually have the time where they just showed up.
Where they showed up after
the
event.
Which their times are actually wrong in the affidavit, so they're incorrect.
Yeah, because people started, in the affidavit, you could say that people heard gunshots, and then they started calling 911, sheltering in place and whatnot. But had the manager first called the cops, called the cops after this fight was going on, which happened before, and had the APD just done their job, and they were probably like, you know what, I don't know if you watch Texas fights on X. I mean, you got people. It's insanity.
Yeah, it's mayhem.
It's mayhem. And you're like.
And that's what happened with my guys. My second guy was in
the parking
lot. They
just kind of walked into this situation.
Someone came in behind him, and three people, one of the people that actually was shot and killed was one of the people that actually hit him in the back.
Wow.
In the back of the head.
A sneak attack.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's why his face, even still today, his face is swollen. His eyes, you know, almost completely shut, you know, even still today. You know, and this is today, you know, it's Tuesday. So, you know, this guy lost consciousness.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know.
And you see that when a gang starts stomping on people,
yes.
A gang of people, they start getting one person. You're like, man, that usually that person's not coming out of it without, you know, They're going to be unconscious. Something's going to happen to them. Right. They're getting effed up.
In what world is it okay, you know, for 12 people to attack two?
Right.
What world is that all right? And to the point that you're seconds away from killing someone.
And it's not even the right people.
Right. Exactly. And you're confused about.
That's even.
You don't even know who this person is. You're confusing them with someone else. And so, you know, hey.
And when you read the account, they're like, we're the victims.
Right.
You know, we're the victims of this. We did was walk outside of a club after we started a fight inside the club.
And actually, when you look at the affidavit, you can go to like the second page, that third paragraph. The guy says, I'm confused as to why people are fighting. But then he jumps in.
Yeah.
He actually says that in his affidavit. He writes down, I'm confused as to why people are fighting, and then jumps in and starts fighting. That is insane. You don't even know what's going on. You're jumping in and you're helping, you know, and it makes sense. You know, it makes sense. You see one of your friends in an altercation, you're going to run out there and you're going to help your friend out.
Sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's why it was 12 people against two. Everyone in this party, this group that was at this function, you know, jumped on my employees because they mistook them for someone else as they pulled into the parking lot to go to this establishment. Wow. Insane.
Wow. Deadly Cabana Club shooting was self-defense. Gunman tells Austin PD. We actually have you defending your employees. You had a lot of mics on you. I guess you were at they came to your gun store so you could do a press conference or whatever. But
yeah,
they...
I wanted to make a statement because I was criticized for this.
And you're very good at making statements.
I say, you know, Michael, why are you coming out? Why are you talking about this? Well, one, I'm the gun guy. You know, I'm the public figure. I'm a gun store owner. You know, I've sued the federal government. I sued, you know, the Austin Police Department, the, you know, constable's office, whatever. And I've won all these court cases. And one of my employees directly involved in a shooting that can be considered a mass shooting, you know, one person dead, you know, multiple people injured. And so if I don't come out and say something, it'd be damned if I do and damned if I don't.
Right.
So I had no choice but to come out and say something, and I'm definitely going to defend my people. I'm going to look at the evidence, and if my people did something wrong, then I'll admit they did something wrong. But they were definitely in the right here. They did exactly what I would do. They did exactly what I teach people to do, and they did exactly what they're supposed to do.
All right, let's go to that clip.
I want to make sure it's very clear that my employees did exactly what they were supposed to do. They defended themselves. They were being attacked. Someone tried to kill them. One employee was knocked unconscious. He had no choice but to defend himself. He did exactly what I would have done. He did exactly what I trained them to do.
There it is right there. I mean, and you just said it right here. So it's like, you know, when they say, when you know the truth, you don't have to remember what you said.
Absolutely.
You know, it just rolls off your tongue. So in that situation, from your knowledge, so they pull up in a parking lot. So you have a truck that's obviously part of this whole deal. Did they attack the guys in the passenger seat or the guys in the driver's seat first?
So this is in the driver's seat.
So the driver was getting attacked.
Right. So the driver is in the driver's seat. These people were in the parking lot. They start banging on the vehicle, and that's where it all started from right there.
Right. And then the passenger is the one who got out and helped his buddy.
Absolutely.
And defended him from being attacked. And you're saying 12 people.
12 versus 2. Wow. In what world is it okay for 12 people to attack 2 people and you not have the right to defend yourself?
Over a case of mistaken identity. Austin police said Friday night shooting at the Cabana Club left a man dead, others injured. Go back to that, please. I was just reading the rest of that. Gun store owner says 1 against 12. Others proceeding an altercation, self-transported to the hospital. So the other people left the scene, I guess, and went to the hospital?
Correct. They all went to the hospital. And, you know, once this happened, so my guys actually, they tried to check themselves out, because they were badly injured. And so they ended up going to urgent care and then eventually went to the hospital themselves.
Yeah.
After calling 911 first and then calling the attorney and exercising their right to remain silent.
So right.
They invoked their rights, which everyone has a right. I wish people would do that more often. Once you defend yourself, you have a right to remain silent, not to incriminate yourself. And so it's important that you don't make any statements to police because you're caught up in the motions, you're caught up in what's going on right now, and it's easy for you to, say the wrong thing that's being recorded by law enforcement on the dash cam and also in the vehicle.
Sure.
Even in the back of that vehicle, you could be recorded saying something, and then that's definitely going to play against you in court. So it's best you sit there, remain silent. And then when you get to jail, because I tell my students, you're going to be arrested, you're going to go to jail, you're going to have to bail yourself out of jail. And while you're in jail, don't even make phone calls because those phone calls are being recorded and that's going to be used against you as well. Don't make phone calls. You got to have a plan when something happens so that way that plan can be kicked into place.
And how did they pick up Ryan? Did they actually go to his house or did he turn himself in? How did that transpire?
So he went to urgent care. He then called 911 from urgent care. And the police came over there. They arrested him there. And then they took him from there to the hospital because they had to get x-rays and all this stuff done at the hospital and get checked out. So he's doing a lot better. He's okay. He's not locked up because we have 6 attorneys that are on this case. There's 6 attorneys and there's 2 private investigators that are on this case. And I've never lost a case. I've been expert witnesses in multiple cases. And so this is a clear case of self-defense. And so I don't plan on, we're not going to lose this. When you're talking first degree felony, murder, do you know what the qualifications for that is?
Right. And they're going to have 11 other witnesses obviously testifying that, we just walked outside and all of a sudden this happened. I mean, when you read this affidavit, you're like, wow, this is crazy.
Yeah, but your hands are dirty. Your hands are dirty because you initiated a fight inside of a club of something that happened 6 years ago.
Yeah.
6 years ago, I had a beef with someone, and now I'm pissed off, and I want to get this person back while they're working, and then jump on this person and attack this person. And then my friends help me inside the club to the point that police are called. They don't show up, but I get kicked out of the place. And then when I get kicked out, I run into someone who I don't know, thinking that I do know this person and initiated a fight with this person,
and this is a great testimony for the Second Amendment because the cops were called, cops didn't show up, then 2 other people who are just walking into the maelstrom they don't even know they're walking into start getting attacked and they defended themselves.
So no one in that parking lot, no one part of that group can say they have a halo over their head.
Right.
They don't,
well, but also the cops didn't show up till gunshots were fired.
Right.
And when it's 12 on 2, and one of the people is being, gang pounded unconscious, you know, what do you do? It's like the scene from The Outsiders when they're beating up the one guy and they're holding him underwater, choking him. The other dude pulls out a knife and defends him.
Yeah, either you die or you defend yourself. You
exactly.
Know, your choice.
Judged by 12, carried by 6, what they say.
And then some people are saying, Michael, this was a bar. You know, it was a 51%. They weren't supposed to carry inside the bar. Well, guess what? They were not inside the bar. Right. They were in their vehicle. They just pull up to the parking lot. You know what I do when I get to establishment and I can't carry? One, I'm carrying. You know, I have the gun on me while I'm in my vehicle.
Yeah.
When I get to an establishment that I cannot have the gun in the vehicle, what I do is I get out of the vehicle with the gun on me. I put it in my lockbox, you know, that's in the rear of my vehicle, you know, and then lock my doors and go into that establishment, mm-hmm. you know. So I have the gun on me. So if you approach me, you know, at the time that I, you know, am going from my vehicle to the back of the vehicle, whatever, I'm still inside the vehicle, I have my gun on me. I can have a gun in a parking lot. Everywhere I can have a gun in the parking lot, unless I'm on federal property. And last time I checked, the Cabana Club is not federal property. So I can have a gun on me in the vehicle, inside the vehicle, multiple guns inside the vehicle, 20 guns inside the vehicle. I can get outside the vehicle. I can stand in the parking lot with 20 guns in the parking lot. And that's totally legal. If you attack me while I'm in that parking lot, I have my 20 guns on me, I'm going to shoot you with 20 guns.
And so that law only starts when you cross the threshold going into the establishment.
In the building, on the premises, which is the building.
Yeah. There it is. So you have to know the law. A lot of people don't know the law in these cases. A lot of people would have talked to the cops. But, you know, with the training of Michael Cargill, and talk about this training, because I've done gun safety training with you to get a concealed carry. And we talked a little bit about incidents, but do you have more courses where you actually go into deep, like if this was what happens if you get into, you know, a shootout of some sort? We talked a little bit about it, but it was more like these are the all the ways you have to carry. These are all the laws you have to follow. It was more that to, you know, because you're taking a test.
Right. I remind people that when it comes to you defending yourself, you have to remember if it's aggravated kidnapping, murder, sexual assault, aggravated sexual assault, robbery, aggravated robbery, you can use force or deadly force to stop someone to protect yourself. If they're attempting to enter or remove you from your home, your vehicle, or your place of business, there are three places that you should feel safe in the state of Texas. In most states, you should feel safe. That is your home, your vehicle, and your place of business. If someone attempts to enter or remove you from your home, your vehicle, your place of business, you can use force or deadly force to stop them. That is the Castle Doctrine. So these guys did not know what the gun laws were. They didn't know what self-defense laws were. And so they FA and they FO'd.
Yeah. That's what happens. And then after the shooting, what should somebody do if they are involved in a shooting and they're the one who pulled the trigger?
You should immediately call 911. You know, first you got to check yourself out, make sure, okay, get yourself out of there. You know, you got to get out of danger and get to safety. And that's what I taught my people to do. They got out of there, they got out of, you know, got to safety, and then, you know, went to get medical care. And then they called 911, and then they called the attorney, which is what they should have done. They did exactly what they were supposed to do.
And when did you find out about this? You said you went to sleep that night. Did you find out early the next morning?
Yeah, I fell asleep. Someone gave me a call, and I was like, oh, my goodness, you know. And it took me a couple seconds to wake up. And
why is my phone buzzing?
Yeah, you know, it's always if it's not my parents, you know, something going on. Yeah. You know, someone breaking into my parents' home at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, climbing through the second floor of their window, my parents shooting and killing this person. You know, it's, you know, my employees, my friends, or someone like that, you know. So that's what happens.
Wow.
And that puts me, Michael Cargill, right in the middle.
It does. And you've been in the middle of a few of these things. Tell people quickly, we got about 4 minutes left, the bus incident. That happened, started at your store, right?
Yeah. So this guy, he's a teenager. He decided to walk into the gun store. My employee was showing him a firearm, and this guy decided to take the gun and run out the front door with
it. Snatch and grab.
Yeah, snatch and grab there. And so, you know, this guy, you know, comes in and does this. And, you know, when we're all there, you know, we're on point. You know, we have a code word. We have a plan. You know, we get into action, and we communicate with each other, you know, whether it's body language, movements, whatever, words, and we jump in and boom, we go, you know, and everyone's like right on point. So one employee goes for the vehicle, another employee calls 911. I go out the back door. And so this guy goes to the city bus station. He gets on the city bus there. I run over and I stop the bus from going, you know, and I ask the bus driver to open the door. The bus driver opens the door. I get inside the city bus there and I tell the bus driver, lock the door. Don't let anyone off this bus. And so I said, you know, this guy, you know, this guy's got a, you know, got a gun that he stole from us, and he's not getting off this bus. So the customers that were on the bus were like, what's going on? I said, look, this guy, his, you know, he took a gun. He stole a gun from a gun store, and no one's getting off this bus. We will die before I let this guy get off this bus. And so everyone sitting on the bus, you know, grabbed their phone, started calling 911.
Right.
I'm like, great, because I've called them, my employees have called them, and the police are not here yet. So right. Great, continue to call. You know, so you tell them there's a black guy on this bus with a gun. You know, you tell them whatever you need to tell them to get the police here, but he is not getting off this bus with his gun and committing a crime with it. So finally, the police get there. You know, I actually ended up calling ATF myself. And ATF contacted the local law enforcement.
You called the feds.
I called the feds. And so I'm like, look, dude, I've called the police and they're not showing up yet. You know, what's going on? You know,
we got a stolen gun.
Right.
That's a federal matter.
It is. Yeah. And so they contacted local law enforcement. Then finally, you know, 3-4 officers showed up. 2 agents showed up. And so they handcuffed this guy, his friend, and they started searching him. They said, he doesn't have a gun. I'm like, oh, crap. I said, trust me, the gun's on this bus.
Yeah. You
know, they're like, no, we can't find it. I said, trust me, either one of the customers, you know, has the firearm, or he's hitting this firearm, you know, in the back of the bus or somewhere. And so they started searching. They're searching. They're looking. I called my employees, had them send me a security camera footage of he put it in a backpack.
Right.
I had them send me that backpack. And so I showed them. I said, look, this is what we're looking for. The gun is in his backpack, you know, and so it's on this bus. And so they're looking. They're searching. And finally, it was an extended bus, you know, and they finally found it in the back of the bus, you know, in the back seat underneath something.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was a Glock 17 that he stolen from the gun store.
Glock 17, they just showed a picture of you. We actually have a video. There it is right there. We got video still of Michael Cargill on the bus trying to explain to the cops, listen, I know there's a gun on this bus, and nobody's getting off until we get to the bottom of this. Amazing. Hey, Michael, I got some callers. Do you want to stay on for the next segment and take
sure.
calls with
Absolutely.
Me?
Go for it.
All right. And I also want to transition. This is an interesting case that I think you might – missing nuclear official becomes 10th person leaked to dark pattern surrounding U.S. secrets. Have you seen this yet?
I have not.
This is these are all the people that since 2023 that have been involved in different types of Air Force propulsion type things, and they're missing. And now we have a 10th person. It was 9 not too long ago, but you can see 2026. We got two new people.
Oh, wow.
So one just went missing, and that's Steven Garcia, 48, vanished without a trace, and August 28th. So they're just finding these people now. I mean, it's getting crazier and crazier. Like I said, it's a crazy world, right? Maybe if some of these people were armed, they might not be missing. That's interesting. You know, and I wish I had the video. I had another video that I saw on the weekend that I wanted to show you. In fact, I'll see if I can find it.
We have it all. Ultramethylene Blue, we have the best. The Shilajit, we have the best. The Turmeric, we have the best. We have the best spike protein, pro-cardiovascular, ultimate life force. The best Irish sea moss gummies and capsules. Incredible. Research for yourself. We have the best at theultrastore.com. And if you buy any of them, they're 50% off when you sign up for AutoShip. Cancel anytime. And you guarantee it never sells out. They hold it back. You get 50% off on future orders. And anybody that downloads for free the Android or the Apple app, you find both links to it at alexjonesapp.com. It's free. You get an additional 20% off at checkout on top of that. Now, I had to convince Pitley to do this. They were a little skeptical because they like to give you good deals, but not this good because it's loss leader when you use the app. But because we have an 80%+ reorder rate on things like Ultramethylene Blue, it's actually working because you get it, you love it, and you keep ordering. So these are great products. I want to induce you to try them. You know our information's hardcore. Try the products. It's just as hardcore. 1776 worldwide. We will crush the 1984 globalist system. God bless you all.